Mr. Painting, reel 3. Was the battalion very healthy? Was there much sickness?
No, very little sickness. Very little sickness.
So there are no epidemics of dysentery or cholera or anything?
No, nothing of that, no. No, there was very little sickness in Egypt. It was a dry climate. You see, the chief trouble was that you get there, if you were out on the desert, you'd get pestered with sandflies. You might get a bit of sandfly fever or something like that, you see. And this would make you laugh. When we were in Casanil, it was an old Khedive's palace right alongside there, and the walls were infested with bugs and that, you see. When you go out to camp for a time, come back, and these bugs hadn't had anything, and they'd worry you to death like milio. Bite you. And every Thursday, which was holiday, you had to take all your beds down onto the barrack square, cut them with paraffin, and set fire to them to kill all the embryo bugs and that, you see. That was one of the occupations that we did on Thursday.
Yes.
Oh, and I'll tell you another interesting thing, if you might like to record it. We were out to keep dogs, kennel club.
Mm-hmm.
And the officer servant who lived in my barrack room, he had a little toy dog. Well, the dogs had to be out of the barrack rooms by 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, being an officer servant, he was a little bit pushed, and he couldn't put his dog into the pound where they used to put them, you see. So he put it in his barrack room box. The officer came round to inspect the barrack rooms and see they were all clean, and he brought his dog with him. Of course, that didn't apply to the officers, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, one dog smelt the other. And suddenly there was a bang, bang, bang in the barrack room, you see. And the one on the outside was barking, the one inside, so the officer said, "Help the box, out shot this little dog." And there we were, you know, Well, the officer had to laugh at it. We instead of being an inspection, we had to do a chuckle about it. But the upshot of it was the poor old officer servant got put on the pegs for disobedience of battalion orders. Being an officer servant, he got 7 days CB. If it had been an ordered private soldier, he would have got 8 days CB, a regimental entry, but he got 7 days CB. It caused a little bit of fun. The officer's name was Lieutenant Hope, Johnny Hope. He died at Basingstoke, near Basingstoke, about 6 years ago. And yeah.
Then you came back to England,
yeah.
And based at
Gosport.
Gosport.
Rather amusing. We got off the boat in our funnel service dress, our serge dress, black serge, and white helmets. And we landed at Gosport in a snowstorm. That was our greeting arriving in England in February '09. And the barracks that we went to were called New Barracks, and they were flat roof barracks. The story is that they were meant for Hong Kong, but the plans got mixed, and those plans were submitted there. So they built those barracks there, which were flat roof barracks with verandas around them. The station at Gosport, and that was a very interesting place, really, Gosport. Of course, you could go over to Portsmouth. We were quite close to the ferry, and you go over to Gosport for a penny on the ferry. Mm-hmm. And Nelson's old ship, the Victory, was lying in midstream. She wasn't in dry dock then. You go and have a trip round Nelson's ship and have a look and see where he fell and that, which I took advantage of, you know. Just to hire a boat to go out there and have a look round his ship and back it. And Portsmouth was very interesting. You could go down, I mean, there was a good theatre there. There was South Sea. You could walk all the way from South Sea right to Eastney along the front, which was quite a good place. And being as it was a marine station, a naval station, there was plenty of sport there, inter-service sport. So it was really a good station.
Did you go to Lord Wolseley's funeral?
Yes, yeah. I got one or two little notes somewhere about a funeral. His Majesty King Edward VII died on the 6th of May, and the battalion went and lined the streets on the 20th of May on the occasion of his funeral.
In London?
In London, yes. We went and lined the streets in London.
Where was your position?
Our position was... We went into Kensington Gardens, and then we took up our position in Hyde Park between Stanhope and Grosvenor Gates, mm-hmm. and then we returned to Gosport.
Mm-hmm. Did you go by train?
Oh, we went by a train.
Did you have a special troop train?
A special troop train to go up there for that purpose.
On the station at Gosport?
Yes, yes.
You came up through...
You come up to Eastleigh.
Yes.
From Eastleigh, and then straight up on the main line.
Yes.
Up to Waterloo. And that was 1910, that was. And then we... The very day after that, I went to Longmoor for another course of mounted infantry. Mm-hmm. That was in May. And then in 1913, we'd moved to Aldershot by that time. In the meantime, I left the battalion at Gosport. Mm-hmm. I'd been made a Lance Corporal by that time, and I left the battalion and came to Winchester to the Rifle Depot to be in charge of a barrack room and to be a left-righter to a squad. You see, a squad of training used to have a sergeant, a corporal, and a lance corporal. And I came up and did 12 months duty at Winchester Depot training recruits. Mm-hmm. So I didn't do anything with the battalion then until again in 1913 when I joined up with them. And then... In 1913, the battalion left Aldershot at 6:30. We had breakfast in Wellington Barracks, and we marched in the procession of Field Marshal Lord Wolseley. We marched from the War Office to St Paul's. Why we did that was because our 3rd Battalion was in the operations in 1882 to 84, when Field Marshal Lord Wolseley was, when he was Sir Garnet Wolseley, when he was in command of them. Mm-hmm. So they took part in the procession, you see, in his funeral procession, because they'd fought under him in Egypt. Yes.
Was there, can you remember much about the procession route? Were there lots of people there?
Oh yes, there were lots of people.
And I know that you couldn't sort of gaze about.
Oh, but no,
but you
see.
Could get an impression.
In that procession, you see, King Edward VII procession, we were lying in the streets while the people were watching, you know, they were pushing behind you, and that you had to be kind of a barricade to save the people from getting forward, you see, for the big procession. But when we were on the procession for Sir Garnet Wolseley, we were in the actual procession itself, you see. We weren't to form part of the, what you might call, line in the route to keep the spectators away. Those were the two processions that I took part in London.
Did you expect war to come? When war was declared, was it a surprise?
No. I mean, there had been the talk with the German Navy, we want 8. We were building up our battleships and all that kind of thing, you see. There was that kind of thing, you see. And there'd been a little bit of a difference at the what they call the Agadir affair. And, I mean, Germany was building up. We weren't a bit surprised at all.
Did you... think in sort of barrack room talk and that it was going to be a short war or a long one, can you recall?
Well, I thought, personally, I thought it would be, and people said, oh, we should be back by Christmas. But I said, we should be lucky if we're back the following Christmas 12 months. That was my own opinion. I couldn't see it being a short war. Mm. Because, I mean, the toast in the German army and the navy was to the day, to the day when they fought us, you see. And I said, well, it's not going to be a short one. I was quite prepared for a long war.
What were there any particular problems of mobilisation and going over to the other side?
Well, as soon as war was declared on August the 4th, mobilisation was ordered. The reservists were called up. We in the battalion had to hand in all our spare kit, our second suit of khaki and putties and all that kind of thing, you see, and our ceremonial uniform. We just had our service dress, that which we was going to wear, and our small kit, which we, greatcoat and small kit, a couple of pair of socks and that kind of thing, senior mess tins, which was just your necessary things, you see. Anything else was handed into stores for what might be required later on. And we had our first lot of reservists. They came to us about 3 days after war was declared.
Did they come in uniform or in civilian?
Oh yes, they were fitted up in uniform. They were reported at the depot. You see, I had to report at the depot, and were fitted at the depot, and then sent up to make the battalion up, allotted to the companies, made us up to 1,000 strong, and we put them through what training they were in a few days. You see, because we went over to France on the 12th of August 14. We left barracks very early in the morning, about 3:30 in the morning, August the 12th. The women and children were there to see their husbands and fathers off. A lovely, lovely summer morning. And we marched up to Farnborough. We entrained at Farnborough in two trains. We left there. We were down at Southampton at 12 o'clock. And we were put onto an old cattle boat that was converted to take us over there. SS Honorus was the name of the ship, and we just went round, anchored off the Isle of Wight, and then from there, I suppose, the captain got his orders. We went up to Rouen. We got there too late to go up the river, and we went off to Havre and stood outside. Then we went up the river Seine up to Rouen, and on the way up we had it was a lovely voyage up the river. And we saw some of the French soldiers, our first view of the French soldiers. Red trousers and blue coats. Vive l'anglais, they were saying. Well, when we got to Rouen, we disembarked and we marched to a camp near the racecourse. And we camped there for the day. Next day, we got in the train and we got out of the train at Vaux-Digny, I think, at Vaux-Digny, and we marched from there to a place called Anaps. And the 6th Brigade were concentrated around that area, or that would be, see, we went on the 12th, and we got to Anaps. It would be about 14th or 15th, I think. Anyway, we got to this place at Anaps, and we were billeted on a farm. Mm-hmm. We slept in the barns and that kind of thing, you see. And our
The farmer still there? The farmer?
Yes.
Was he sort of pleased to see you, or didn't he?
Well, as we were there to go and fight for him, he didn't make much bones about it, you see. But and there was the village down there. We did our training. We hardened up the got the reservists into training, you see. Well, then in the evening, go down to the village and get a little bit of smattering of French and go and buy some French bread, do pang, as we called it. Mm-hmm. And one order that we had, the commanding officer said that we were not allowed to have white handkerchiefs, so we couldn't put up a white flag. Mm-hmm. We had to all go and buy a red handkerchief. I remember the first bit of French we had was a mouchoir rouge, handkerchief red. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing you went and asked for, apart from you do pain when you went to the Boulogne jury. We didn't know any French, but we were there until the 21st. Mm-hmm. And on the morning of the 21st, we started to march up to Mons, scorching hot. And the marching was terrible. The French roads were these pavement, these cobble things, yes. Cobbles. Terrible to march on. And Route National, straight as a die, you could see for miles in front of you, the road seemed endless. Better try and marching. and we got up to Ypres, up to Mons, about 11 o'clock in the morning on the Sunday, on a scorching hot day, and we were told to take up our position to the right of Mons at a place called Gibri. We went to a place called Gibri where we had our breakfast, and then we pushed on a couple of miles northeast of that in the direction of Brinches, where the Jarmy was coming along, you see. And we dug some trenches there, and a battery of artillery, the 70th battery, they were on a ridge just to our left front, and a couple of German aeroplanes come over, spotted this battery there, of course they were firing, you see. They were well camouflaged with a cornfield, they were camouflaged with these sheaves, but of course the aircraft spotted the flash and that, you see, and located them. Well, then they had searching fire to locate them. The horses were about 300 yards to the left rear, behind the battery, down the ridge. And then Jerry started searching the ground, you see, and we dropped some of the stuff on us, which cut one section of my trench to pieces. Didn't get anybody damaged, fortunately. And these gunners, they had three of their four guns was knocked out of action, but the gunners were jolly good. They crawled from one gun to the other, and kept them, you know, kept them going. And one gun that was knocked out, they got in action again, and they were jolly good. We didn't get any infantry attack. And then we had to pull back a little bit, and we had, Jerry played a searchlight on us during the night, and we thought we were going to be for it, but early the next morning the retirement started. So we didn't actually get any rifle fire at, well, we did, but we didn't actually have to fire at them. You see, we got shelled at Mons, but nothing serious. The main attack came in on the left, on the other army, on the